Thank you, worship team. You know, as they were declaring, this is how we fought our battles and the miracles, it was such a heart thing for me to stand there in that corner and to lay my son David before the throne. I'm contending for his heart. It was so powerful for me to lay some situations that's going on in my daughter's heart, and I got to lay them before the throne. There's relationships in this building that I hope and pray that you laid under the shadow of this cross. Because we can sit and we can be schooled and we can be trained in so many ways, but unless the power of the Holy Spirit comes in and walks with us, it's just a band-aid on a wound. It's when the Holy Spirit comes in that there will be full and total healing in that. Now, remember, when you have a wound and it's healed, you will have a scar. But those scars are scars of victory as the Lord Jesus Christ has come through for you time and time again. And there's so much excitement in that. Can we give God great praise today in this house? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. My ushers are ready, so I'm not going to keep them standing. I'm going to have them come forward, and we're going to take up tithes and offerings quick. And if you have care and communication cards or just want us to pray for you or anything you want us to know, just write them out. And if you didn't get it in one of these baskets, hand it to one of these ushers or myself or Miss Carr or any of the staff here at any time. So, Lord, we worship you with giving back to you. Lord, it ain't equal giving, Lord. It's equal sacrifice from our heart, dear God, that we give. And, Lord, I just thank you that you've proved that to me time and time again through my heart, my soul, my home, my finances, my health, and all these things combined. And I thank you for that in your precious name, amen. Thank you, gentlemen. I truly appreciate my ushers and what they do week after week. When you come in here and your toilets are clean and the paper towels are full and the trash is picked up, these are the guys that do it. These are the guys that serve you greatly behind the scenes. Another thing I truly appreciate about this church and this body is what the hands and feet I've seen happen this weekend here at this body. Before we move forward, though, I want to pray for Bill Chady today, who I don't know whether Bill's in the house or not in the house. We can still pray for Bill today. That'd be greatly appreciated, right, Miss Betty? All right. So we want to pray for Bill. He's been walking through some physical difficulties, and we want to pray for them. And then I want to pray for the Walsh family as well, if you guys will permit me to do that. They went through. Miss Becca lost her father this last week, and that's just hard, and it takes a while to walk those steps. So put your hands out towards Betty and the Walshes. And Father, it's only by your grace, only by your spirit, only by your heart, dear God, that we can walk through some of these things. God, there's hardships, there's pain. Your word was clear, Lord, in this world we will have tests, trials, and tribulations, but that don't help me a whole lot, Lord, when I'm in the midst of the battle, the pain, the unknown. And God, as each of these families, as each of these hearts walks through the big things that are ahead of them, dear Father, the unknown, the not even, sometimes, Lord, we don't even know how we're supposed to feel in all of this. And Lord, come and fill those spots as well. But come with those our feet are shod with the gospel of peace that Ephesians talks about, Lord, and help us walk through the unknown. Help us walk through the fear. Help us walk through, dear God, just where our hearts don't even know where to tread, Lord. And love us and guide us in your precious name, amen. So some things I truly enjoyed hearing about this weekend was the Walshes had their memorial service here and how you guys loved them, how you cared for them. There was ladies that did things behind the scenes and got meals and things going. And Miss Jen, fantastic job of taking care of them. And, and helping them transition as they let Dad go in their hearts. And it's a mourning process. It's hard, but it's always helpful when the family comes around and loves and cares and touches. So I appreciate that oh so much. And those of you that have went and seen Bill at the hospital or at home or praying for them, that is what this is all about. And we just thank you for that. So you're a fantastic church. Give yourself a hand. I mean, come on. I tell my guys in my groups, you guys don't know how to celebrate yourselves. We do not know how to celebrate the victories. The enemy throws, the enemy will pick up, and I should have brought my bag of stones from this weekend, but he reaches down in there and he pulls out a stone of accusation. And even though you had a great victory, you may have walked away from some things that you've been struggling with a long time. You may have asked forgiveness for the first time to your lovely wife or your manly husband. But instead of celebrating those small victories, the enemy picks up a stone of accusation and pitches you and bings you right here in the head. And you embrace that rather than the victory. And God does not want his people he wants us to stop embracing the things of death. And he wants us to celebrate the things of life that he's sending our way. How about if you as a dad or a mom, continue to give your kids good gifts, and they go, well, you've done it. You've seen it at Christmas time, guys. You pour out your heart. You think you got to give them all this junk, and they really don't appreciate it at the end of the day. Because we get a little bit thankless or we get preoccupied. Let's start celebrating. Let's go with hearts of thanksgiving, hearts of celebration, and watch how much more God's going to pour out upon you. Yeah. Start thanking God for the clunker you drive and watch that he don't give you something different. Start thanking God for the job you have and see if he won't up it for you if you ask him. Remember, you have not because you ask not. You quit asking because you quit believing. You quit asking because you've had so many stones bing you in the head, you're worried about your head now, and you're not worried about what's ahead of you. God has great plans, and it's so great when you have brothers and sisters. As Proverbs says, as iron sharpens iron, so one brother. So one woman sharpens another woman. So one couple sharpens another couple. And that's how we get the Lord, when we aren't listening to the Lord on that level, here, like this, God will send others into your life to give you another shot at hearing him. And so that's what we want to do. We want to continue to stay open before the Lord. That ain't even my sermon, guys, so that was all free stuff there. I just need to get a few announcements out of here. Brian Harden will be coming March 25th. I think it's Sneezing Jesus or Jesus Sneezing. He's going to talk about one of those. But in our retreat this weekend, how fast does a sneeze come out of a man's 100 miles an hour. That is trivia that is totally worthless, but if you ever play and you've got it right there, that's a freebie. There will be no life group at our house tonight. Reason being, because we had a washout. You couldn't get up my lane unless you've got a big-wheeled monster truck-type vehicle. So this afternoon, we get to go and work on my lane. And so I'm not sure I'll have it done in time for life group. So we're just going to, sorry, it's not going to happen. But good news, the Lamont's life group is going to go on, and it'll be here at the church. So there's so many of you coming out to that life group that they had to move it to a bigger place. So come on out to that and be ready. And they're talking about some cool stuff, and I've been going through the stuff with the staff ahead of you guys, and it stretches me. Man, I don't like being stressed neither. Yeah, I'm not good at that. We got that. All right, I guess I can move on there. Got all that, got all of them commercials out of the way. Oh, a few more things. Yeah, there is a woman's retreat coming up. There is. Jen was going to throw something at me. You want to say something? Sign up if you're going to help. And there's a table back there. There's a lovely brochure for you ladies back there. They're a whole lot cheaper than us men in our conferences. They're only $35. I hammered you guys pretty good, so. But we ate good. We had a lot of good snacks and things. I mean, we did. But go back there and sign up. And then remember the Harvest Project. We have a goal. And in that Harvest Project, through the year, we're handing out money left and right to where the Lord has asked us to. And it's really cool when other churches come and say, well, I sit at the table with several churches around, what projects is your church giving to? I said, I don't know, and it's 18, 19, 20, and I looked the other day, and there was actually 21 on our roster that we were given to. And you know what, for a church this size, God in all of heaven applaud you. I mean, it is awesome what God's doing in our midst with that. So pick up a card. Again, it ain't about equal giving, it's about equal sacrifice. Everybody gives something. It's really good there. So today I'm going to unpack the heart of a man / woman. See the / in there? And I'm not sure I'll get through it all today, so I may have to ask for an extension of another week, and I've never done that before, so I'm even a little nervous to Pastor Jeff. Can I have? I don't know how that's going to go out. I probably just set him up if he ever listens to this, though. So, Lord, did I mean to do that? Probably. Yeah, that's my heart. So you'll get to know me pretty good there. So I want to tell you something that happened. My little buddy Ray Hodge. I don't know whether he's in the room or not. There he is. He's back there. He was explaining a story to me this weekend, and he really caught my attention. So. Him and his dad, Eric, they were down in the Shepherdsville area there, and they were going to go see if they could buy a piece of land. They want to build a bigger house someday, kind of a log cabin type thing. And so they were looking around, and so they were working around. And there was an old barn there, and you know, weeds and stuff, but the potential was great. So Ray happened to go out behind the barn there and was looking around, and Eric. Ray couldn't even get him out of the barn because Eric was amazed at the room, and he was already what he was going to do with all his equipment and how he was going to set it up. So doing the typical man thing, but Ray was back there, and there's this huge hole in the back, just kind of like a crater that kind of fell away, and it began to disturb Ray a little bit. He said, I'm going to go get Pops and tell him what's happened. So he went and got Eric, and they went over there and looked, and they're looking on the edge of it. And Eric's a little cautious, so, you know, Ray's a little wild at heart there, and he was kind of leaning in there trying to see what was going on, and Eric's pushing him, get back, it might cave in, you know. So Ray says, hey, Dad, I wonder how deep that is. Eric says, I don't know, I can't even see the bottom. So he said, just a second, we'll go find it. So Ray ran over, and he found next to the barn this old anvil, this old rusty and what have you, and he... drug that thing. Oh, that's a pretty good size. Anybody ever pick up an old big anvil? They're pretty hefty. So he comes over and he says, check this out, Dad. And he drops that thing in there and nothing. They didn't hear nothing. So they concluded, they said, that is one deep hole. And all at once, Ray says, they heard this coming at them, and they're looking, and here comes this goat charging at them. So Ray moves to this side, and Eric moves to that side, and the goat goes right in the hole. So they're both over the hole. We didn't hear him hitting either. And next thing they know, there's a guy comes around the barn, and he goes, Betsy, and he sees these two, and he goes, hey, guys. Have you seen my goat Betsy? And they go, yeah, the darndest thing. We were sitting here looking at this hole, and And your goat come charging and just jumped right in that hole. Farmer says, that's impossible. He says, I had her chained to an anvil. Some of you are still just getting it. Ray set me up on that, so you can thank him for that. That's what he did. So I'm going to ask you guys to dim the lights a little bit, and Nate, brother, if you will play this video for me. It's about 5 minutes, so bear with me, and then I'll get back at it.
Is there any place I can go to avoid your spirit? To be out of your sight? If I climb to the sky, if I go to the depths, you're there. If I flew on morning's wings to the far western horizon, you'd find me in an instant.
All stories have a framework. You know, every human being is a story. The prodigal son story is you've got this beautiful emergence of the very being of God inside of our humanity. You've got God the Father, who is a father, and every one of us, male and female, are the sons. What the Father does is to work to open up a path so that they know the truth of their being.
We are sons, and we are to call him Abba, which means I'm a little boy. There's something in us that knows what it is like to desire to be so small and so protected by a great father. Most of us didn't have one. but the few who did really understand what it is to crawl up in his lap and to know that he beams over us.
There is in all of us this innate capacity to believe and receive a really wonderful father, even if we didn't have one.
There is a longing in the deepest parts of us to belong. The hope that there is a table somewhere that we might actually be comfortable inside our own skin. We don't have to hide. We don't have to have our secrets.
There's always been a community of relationship. We're designed for that.
On the back of the violin was an inscription. And that inscription is a Greek inscription that if you read it in the text, I guess, is the words is Tim Shell, T-I-M-S-H-E-L. And the word means choice. Choice to love the Father. Choice to play with the Father. So God gives humankind, mankind, womankind, the choice to come and to worship and to love and to be a part of a bigger story than what you're living today. Some of you may be on the edge, the biggest word I'll probably say today, the precipice of that. That big picture in life. Some of you may still be cowering in fear or sitting in passivity in the middle of the road. Wherever you find yourself, that invitation was equal for everyone to come and have a choice to come be a part this morning. And today, this morning, right now at 10:59, you have the choice to come be a part. The invitation will always be there, but wouldn't it be cool if we could start, and this could be the moment it was offered, the moment I may have heard of, some of you, this may be the first time you ever heard of this. This may be something that you've heard of many times, but something here struck you, the worship, the love as you came in, whatever story you might have heard or seen, that could be what will open this up for you today. So just know you have a choice. So I'm going to try to unpack a heart of man. And this is something that's really, really close to my heart. I've got a heart of a man. I've messed it up a lot on the way through life, but God has given me some redemptive choices to walk it out, and it's been really sweet. So this last past weekend was our Wild at Heart weekend. 21 men locked away in a beautiful lodge with more food than they knew what to do with for 2.5 days, struggling, crying at times. I was crying. The rest of them men weren't. I was. really looking at God and says, really, is this for me? So some denial, some pushback, some unbelief, some disbelief. We unpacked that for 2.5 days. And did we do a sufficient job? Probably not. But did we pique their interest? I can guarantee it. Guarantee it where I come from. That's a fact. And so how to talk about the heart of a man / woman, how to unpack that and deal with it, how to deal, because when you begin to mess with the heart, you begin to mess with pain, you begin to mess with joy and exhilaration, sorrow, memories that many men have come and sat at my brother Rich and my table and says, why do you guys want us to unpack this pain in our lives? It's a great question. Why? Because if you don't face the pain, it'll always haunt you. It's always a bag of trash, a bag of baggage that you're dragging with you. It'll always be that hurdle or that roadblock in front of you. You name it. You can call it anything you want. But at the end of the day, it's baggage that you can leave behind that the Lord left you. And I know I don't know the details, okay? Spare me the speech. You don't know my details. I don't know your details. But I know the one who does, who will sit and help you unpack it. The heart of a man, the heart of a woman cannot be unpacked alone. You cannot do this alone. You were wounded or hurt in community. You need to unpack this and find healing for the wounds in community. And a lot of times that's just raw. Woman to woman unpacking things and talking straight. The hard part is hard to find a friend who will talk straight to you. They don't want to hurt your feelings. Well, gamble a little bit and hurt their feelings and see what happens. Or you let your friend walk with that wound, that pain the rest of their life. The problem with men is, number one, I got to pull him out of the cave of isolation. I got to throw the lasso of the Holy Spirit in there. And you know what? The Holy Spirit's such a gentleman that if they don't want to come out, he lets them stay. But he will continue to present himself and give them the choice. He'll give them Tim Shell, so to speak. The choice is yours to come out and commune, or you can stay there. But it's a day after day, moment after moment, event after event of him coming in and offering this. So the choice is yours, men and women. You don't have to be an old man like me standing up here to have wounds. Some of you young boys and girls, young adults sitting out there, you've been wounded someplace. My children were wounded by their father. That is not a secret in my home. And it's also not a secret that their father went and asked them to forgive him. The choice was presented before them what they could do. And I say that with all the humbleness. I say that boldly, but I say that as the humbleness of my heart, because they chose to forgive such a beast as I in those days. A lovely wife that sat here and was abused with the best of women, who should not even be with me today, was presented with the choice to forgive me and to walk. And thank God she continues to walk with me and forgive me. And we will celebrate 40 years of marriage this year. No, I don't deserve it. But the one who gave it to me says, here's a gift for you. And this gift's name is Carla. And she is good, and she is bright, and she is beautiful, and she will help lead you well. And I embrace her leadership in my life. I'm awful thirsty today, so excuse me. So how do we start with the heart of man? Let's go clear back to Genesis. When God, he wanted to create a man in his own image. And it's good because in Genesis 1, God created men and women and sent them to go multiply. And then God made a garden and he created the man, the scripture says, out of the red clay of the Garden of Eden. And I found that interesting today, or as I read that this weekend. Out of the red clay, he formed the man. And then at that point, he breathed into his nostrils, and life began for Adam. And then he set Adam in the garden. Wow, that is awesome. The creator, and he gave him a heart of man. So he says, Adam, old buddy, I got to go do a few things, but you hang out in this garden. And while I'm gone, name these critters as they come by you. So there was just kind of a parade of slippery and slimy and creepy things and giraffes. And by the way, did you know how big... How big can a hippopotamus's mouth open up?
4 feet.
Woohoo! 4 feet. That's useless knowledge, but you've got it now. Trivia night's going to be good for some of you. I can see it. So Adam got to name the hippopotamuses as they went by, and the giraffes, and the donkeys, and you know all of them fellers that come by. And stuff that he didn't even know, but he made up names for. He was a bright guy. I'm not sure I could have been quite as creative as he did. That platypus one, that would have been a good one too. But anyways, so God came back a little bit later and he goes, man, Adam, he really needs a helpmate. He shouldn't be alone. So he up and knocks Adam out. That was God knocking him out. Something like that. Okay, so Adam's there, and he does a ribectomy on him, you know, pulls that out of there, and he forms, and he builds a woman. And so this woman's up, and she's running around the garden there a little bit and getting used to her legs under her, you know. She's nesting probably, I guess. She's cleaning the fig leaves and stuff. It's still on the trees at this point. Okay, they're not. But anyways... Adam wakes up, and I'm just envisioning this, that he wakes up from the sleep that God had put him in, and he's rubbing his eyes, and he goes, whoa, Lord, I've never seen a filly like that come by me in the last round of critters that come by. And the Lord says, I give this to you as a helpmate. Man, I don't see your pens working. This is helpmate. Did you not get that piece? That should be bold. That should be in italics. That she is your helpmate. Yes. Yeah, I know. It got messed up somewhere along the line. So a little bit later there, they're down and they're taking care of the things in the garden, and they're down at the middle of the garden by the tree. You all know, most of you know the story, if not all of you. And the slippery feller comes in, that snaky dude, and we call him Snaky Jake. Okay, he came in the garden there, and he's there, and he's challenging the woman of all. I mean, he knew exactly what he was doing. He was pretty sly. He knew he must have caught on to God's plan, what was going on there, but he goes to her, and he sells her a pack of lies. But in this pack of lies, there's a thread of truth. Don't take much of us as mankind to be duped with a lie if it's got just a little bit of truth thread through it. And that's what happened to Miss Eve. So Miss Eve up and chews on the apple. And then she has the audacity to go Hey, Adam. Hey, Doug. No, I'm not going to lay that on you. That'd be too much pressure for one day, brother. That's heavy. Hey, try this. See? I didn't die. And at that moment, the moment in history, Adam sat down in the road and became passive. And he handed us our lineage of passivity that we as men have to fight from day one. So now you know the truth, the whole truth, as it came from the scripture. Might have had a little Bert's emphasis in there, but that's the truth. But you know why God didn't intervene at that moment? Because he trusted the heart of Adam. Because Adam was created in God's image. And God trusted his image. But see, God's never without another plan. As we as men should never be without another plan of seeking God and moving forward. So that's how this whole thing started here. But it was interesting that when God put Eve in the garden, Adam's heart was complete. Adam was content for a season. Adam had found one of his reasons for being alive at that time, because God had given him a beauty to walk by his side, to help him through the life. So at the Wild at Heart, we go through about eight things that we really drive deep, and one of them is, whose image do you truly bear? So there's a story in the book, Chronicles of Narnia, and it's about the little girls that are there, and Aslan, the great lion. So if anybody hadn't seen the Chronicles of Narnia, you got a movie to go pick up and go watch, because it's a pretty interesting little movie there. But anyways, the rumor had come that Aslan, the great lion, had come back. And the kids, the girls from the other side of the closet, who were finding out all about talking beavers and half-man, half-goat people and all them, it's a pretty cool deal. It's a great flick if you want to eat a little popcorn and watch it on a Sunday afternoon. So anyways, they're there, and they're introduced, and they're trying to figure out who this Aslan, the great king, is. The girls are. And they say, is he a man? No, a man? He's no man. He's our king. He's the great lion of the woods. And they went on to talk about him. And the one child says, well, is he good? Is he safe? And the beaver says, no, he's not safe, but he's good. The image of God. Men, ladies, let me give you this. If you've never heard, your men are not safe. Your men are not safe. And a lot of you says, yeah, let me tell you the story, Pastor Bert, about how unsafe he is. But he's good. He's good when the heart of God, when the man does the choice and gives his heart over to God, and he's good. He wants to be good. He's just been dealt some rough things through life. There's the question that hurts every man's heart is, do I have what it takes? I can ask my wife when I first married, do I have what it takes? And when she's in love and during the honeymoon and all, she can say, yeah, you got what it takes, baby. Yeah, ooh, three hoops for us. But a year down the road, 2 years down the road, a whole a whole batch of abuse against her, physically, verbally, and all of those things. And now I can ask her, do I have what it takes? And she's going, I don't even know what I'm doing here, let alone know that you have what it takes. But you know the real secret about me asking her that question? I'm asking the wrong person. My wife, your wife, men, cannot validate you. Men are not to be validated by a woman. They are to be appreciated. They are to be respected. And when the time is right, they're to be loved, but they cannot be validated. Your validation comes from the Lord God Almighty and other men in your life. That's the only voice of authority that can validate, do you have what it takes to do the next step? That's the only voice that should be pushing you and urging you on to get up off the floor, walk with me. Now, there are a few war analogies when a man is wounded so bad in battle that his brothers in arms have a weapon in one hand and have a collar in the other and are dragging this brother into safety. But do not go to your woman and expect to be validated, because you will be disappointed every time. That's why men jump from woman on a Friday night and a fling to another woman, because that one found out that you weren't worth validating, and that one, and now we've got a mess on our hands because we're seeking validation in the wrong places. And you may say, I don't know this, and I don't know how I'm supposed to find this out. You won't if you continue to hide out in isolation, men. You continue to stay in the cave and not ask the questions. You'll never know the answers because you don't ask any questions. You think you're just supposed to know it, that somehow God, the great Almighty, is just going to drop a bombshell on top of your head and you're going to know it. That ain't how it works. It didn't work way back then. It isn't going to work now, and it ain't going to work in the future. You need men to draw you out. You have to have the courage to step out of that cave going, what I'm doing here is not working. Well, we don't do that. It's easier in our society to throw the woman to the side or to throw the man to the side. See, it ain't only one way. Women are just as restless. But you know what? Women are just as wounded as we as men are. Do I have what it takes? Now, when I answer that question for a man, well, you may not be good at it, but you have what it takes. See, there's got to be a little, some honesty in here. I'm not gonna blow smoke up your pant leg. I want you to know that, you know what? You don't have it all down. But by golly, we can lock arms and we can walk together, and I'm going to teach you, and you're going to teach me. See, when I sit across the table, it ain't only me teaching. I'm learning from you. I'm reading your cues. I'm talking to the Holy Spirit, and I'm infilling all the time. And you know what I'm learning sometimes? Glad I ain't doing that. Glad I'm not that guy today or anymore. So don't go to your wife and expect to be validated in that way. Go to your wife to be encouraged. I go to my wife at times and say, baby, you're in this with me. Are we going to make it? Can we do this together? I go to her and say, hey, I'm about to make a big decision in our lives. Are you with me? And I'm a qualifier. I'm a straight shooting type of guy. The reason I ask her that question, because if this goes south on us, I don't want no fingers pointed that you drug us in here on your own. You know what? That's just wise, whether it be in relationships or business. Know what you're getting into, and let each other know what you're getting into. But if she says, no, I'm not on board, and I go, we're going anyways, because I feel the Lord has prompted me in that direction, which I've done a time or two. And then usually if the Lord's doing it and I've heard him, it's great. But if I really let emotion rule me and we go sometimes, and then she has the right to say, you know what, you got us in a pretty good pickle here. How are we going to walk that out? Maybe you need to go get another job. Maybe you need to go work some more overtime. You know what? And she has every right to do that at that point. Because you know why, guys? That's my helpmate. That's my helpmate. I'm going to ask Carr to come up here. I want to show you guys something. Carr is not a, she would not want to come up here and preach or anything. But she would love to come up here. All right, so what I'm going to have Carr do, men try, and I'm going to get into this a little later if I can, how this happens and where we're going to go with this, but this is usually what happens after a little bit of time with a man. It could happen right out of the gate when you're married if you walk in it totally clueless, okay? So, which we did. So, I want your... So, see that posture? That posture is locked arms. And move them together just a little. Don't fight me yet, okay? Okay, right there. All right. Now, turn the, so they can all see it a little bit. Turn to the side so they... Okay. So, when she's locked like that, put them together a little bit. There you go. I'm just... See, because I could... That was good. That was good. She's learned how to fight. So when she had them like this, I can almost slip in like this, and that might be good enough for me. Okay, might be good enough for me. But when she's locked like that, I can't get close to her. I cannot get at her heart. I cannot. And this is figuratively speaking, people. This is not, all right, quit strong arm. There was some time in our life that was going on, okay? But when she's like that, I cannot. But you know what's locking this? My abuse. My words of my not listening. My not hearing her, my not looking and giving her. My looking at her and then rolling my eyes or going, "Really?" Or "That was stupid." That's what has corroded all of these parts that won't let me in. Okay, you can stop now. Thank you. Let's give her a great hand. That is not how God expected us as man and woman to be. She is my helpmate. She is my friend. She is my lover. She does a great job at cooking and washing all that stuff too. She's got all that going for me, and I want to be that piece there. But so many men run into that, and it's rightfully so. I get it, because we do not know how to release these guards once we put them up. I had some young there was a couple young men in the group this weekend. And one of them had been married 4 months, the other in 6 months, I think, and then another one a year or so. And I think if they took this word to heart this weekend, that, and what they heard and seen and listened to the older guys talk at the table, I think it should have been wisdom that they should have been stuffing away in their satchel to come up. Because... we as men expect, since we did the Jesus thing and got saved and all, that should all just go away. Well, it doesn't. It takes time. It takes energy. It takes a lot of things in there. We think that since we went to a Wild at Heart retreat and we finally got a little knowledge around these things, that we can come home and we can start implementing these things and turning the house basically upside down in some ways, that don't work. We got to learn how to come in. I had one of the guys at my table say, "All right, how do I implement some of these things in my home? I realize that I've done these things. I realize the pain. How do I begin to implement?" And it comes down to a couple simple things in the beginning, Ask for forgiveness. Ask the Holy Spirit to come in. I mean, and depends where you've got to do that. But I like to ask the Holy Spirit to come in first and to anoint this, because I don't know how to walk through this, or I already would have. Ask for forgiveness, sincere forgiveness. Ask for how do you think we could move forward on this, and then sit and be patient with her. So I remember doing this, Car. I can share this story, Car. Years ago, I've been doing this for 15 years, this Wild at Heart for give or take 15 years. We might not have done it every year for the last 15. But I remember one year, the Lord had unpeeled enough that he showed me that I'd truly wounded the wife of my heart, my wife's heart. And in that weekend, I sat and I wrote this huge letter. I mean, my heart was pouring out, and I was full of forgiveness and compassion and love, and I was feeling good about what I was putting on this paper. So I took this letter home, she said, "How'd your weekend go?" I go, "Great, it was great." And I waited a little bit for the right moment. You know, you got to find the right moment to do these things. And I gave her this letter, and she says, "Thanks." She read it. I didn't hear about this letter again for months and months and months. I don't know that. So I was curious one day. I go, "I wonder what she thought of that letter, man." She didn't comment on it. I didn't get nothing special out of this letter, you know, if you know what I mean. It was just kind of a dry bones thing. And I went and I said, "I had a great weekend at Wild at Heart. Thanks for letting me go. That letter I sent you, did you read it?" "Yeah, I read it." I says, "Did a little more feedback, please? You know, something?" She says, "Those are just words on a piece of paper until you start walking it out and living it and showing me." So I got choices to make. Do I blow up here? You know, I wanted to defend myself. I wanted to defend my honor if there was any, and I realized real quickly there was none. And so I backed away, and I said, "Okay, good enough." Now, and again, as I backed away, I began to have choice. Do I make a vow here? Trust me, this was a good place for a vow. I will never pour my heart out to my wife again. Could have been one. Ran through my mind, and I kept letting it run. I didn't stop it, and push that one back in, or I can actually begin to prove that truly the words on that paper was what I meant to her. And that was a long season of proving. And not that she's hard that way, but it takes a while to turn what we've messed up. Takes a while to plant something new and see it come up out of the ground and to begin to bear good fruit. That just flat took a while. And I'm alone in this, ain't I, guys? There's heads shaking all over the place. Yeah. So... So there's a lot of questions in a man's heart. How do we see? We as young men were wounded by our fathers, whether we like it or not. And we're not up here to bash our fathers. I'm not even interested in that. But we either had whack, which was abuse, a lot of language. We saw things from them and in them that wasn't good. And there was hitting, and there was yelling, and there was loudness, and there was just this bluster. Or we had lack, where Dad went off to work, worked all the time, come home and sat passively on the couch with a newspaper or a TV clicker. Mom had to have dinner on the table at a certain time. Did not want to go out and play catch with you, shoot hoops, or go out and, you know, whatever guys do, fish. didn't teach men to fish or fix a car, didn't have patience for that. And so as they looked at that, dad's passive, he never wants to do anything, and that's just as much a wound. Because you know what that says to a man? That you're not worth the energy it is for me to get up off this couch or out of this chair to go be with you, to go show you that you are my beloved. This over here means that he's totally out of control, isn't even in control of himself, let alone anybody else, but that he's not safe and he's not good and he's just something that I do not want to be. This is where I came from. This is what I became until Jesus came. And began to set me free. And when he set me free, he set her free. When he set her free, set my daughters and my sons-in-laws and my grandchildren free. Set my lineage free. Set my legacy free. Am I perfect in this? Not a chance. I mess up quite often. But I don't think my wife comes in to this blustery, wild man that has no sense. I'm a wild man, and I come up with some wild ideas, want to do some wild things, but it's not to hurt anybody. It's now let's have adventure. So, guys, I've scratched the surface. I've just barely got you into what we began to discuss this week, but I hope the piece that I took you into has some value, has something you can grab a hold of. Women, we don't know. We don't know how to walk this all out. And the guys that went on the retreat, can you please stand for me? Can I honor you? Thank you. It takes courage for a man to come out of his cave and to come to something like this. It takes a whole lot more courage to sit and hear. And I stated right out of the gate, at these tables, there may be a word that you won't find written in the Bible that may fall on the table. There may be a cuss word fall out, you know what? And that's okay this weekend. There may be a lot of tears and sniffle. If you sat at my table, they wanted a new leader because they could never get nothing out of me. I was crying all the time. So they were voting to send me off the island. But I convinced them that I could hold my own if they gave me another chance. And I blew it the second time too. But there's something about me they liked. So I think we were out of leaders is what the real deal was. I think they went to Rich, and Rich says, "You guys are out of luck. That was the luck of the draw, and you got it." So, but these men come home, and they don't know how to unpack all this with you. But if I know their heart, and I've talked to many of them, they want to invite you into this story, but they don't know how. They want to love on you and try to get through this. And you know what the funny part is? Some of you women know that you do this. And you almost take pride in it. But you know what? If you can let that down and just let him in to see your trust. We talked about trust. Why don't men and women tell each other things, even in their own home? Because there's not been a trust built yet. Please trust him. Threaten him with that trust. Go ahead, I do. I threaten guys. I'm going to tell you some things, but if they get out of here, this is my stuff. I'm going to come and get in your face, and you and I might not be friends anymore. But I'm going to trust you with my heart right now. And I'm telling you what, once I began to pour it out, your wives' guys are going to go, "I didn't know that was going on within you. I didn't know that's how you felt. I didn't know that's how I looked. And she's going to go, I didn't know you wanted to live an adventure, that you've got an adventurous bone in your body. I had no idea, because you sure don't live like it. Because there's times they don't feel that they can get up and be adventurous because they're going to be shut down. I talked to a really good friend the other day about dreaming. Vocal dreaming out loud. Men are dreamers. That's how do you think we got from England and all these other countries here to America? They were dreaming for something different, better, wilder, new, exciting. And I'm telling you what, if you aren't giving him anything at home, his adventure and his dreaming is gonna go out, and he's going to look for, he just automatically gets drawn to a woman who has that heart of dreaming and adventure. He don't mean to, but that's where he'll go. Don't give him that opportunity. Stop, you can stop him. Yes, he has a choice, but I don't know how beat down he's been or is. I've seen men that have been so beat down by their wives, and their wives didn't mean to do it. But I'm telling you what, as much pain as he came into the relationship with, some of you women came in with just as much or more. And in that, he doesn't know how to process that unless you some of you never process it because it's such a private, such a inner thing that you will think shameful thoughts of me if I said it or I did it or if you knew. My wife, I married her at 17. It was at the age of 30 that I told her that I'd been sexually abused as a child. Because I didn't know that I could trust my heart that she would still think I was man enough to stay married to. But I'm telling you what, that was, as I look back now, history's great because you're going to look back. That was the beginning of the beginning for so many things breaking off and beginning to open up for me. So I'm going to close because I can't do justice to anything further because time, I'd have you here all afternoon and you would all be throwing things at me because lunch is around the corner. But I would like to go out with a song, if you don't mind, Miss Susan. If you guys, can you do that? And can we do that one about marching? This is how we march into battle. Is that okay? And let's stand and let's go into battle. And I'm not going to call the team up to pray or anything. If you guys want to come, these altars are open. And just chew on some of the stuff this weekend. And if you, anybody in here, man or woman, couple that want to come talk to me, Rich, or one of the guys that were at this weekend retreat and want to begin to unpack how to move forward, feel free to come do that. We'd love to walk with you. Thank you. I'll release you in just a little bit.
Let's give him a round of applause. Greg. Thank you. This is how I find my battles. This is